This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are you ready for the Baskin and Phelps cruise? You excited for that?
You ever been on a cruise?
Yes, I've been on two.
I've been on two.
I got super sick first couple days. Make sure you wear the ear patch.
I wore an ear patch. It made me sick. I went to play golf. I was sick. I took it off. I felt better in about four holes.
By taking the patch off?
Yeah.
Oh, the patch helped me, man.
Yep.
We
had the opposite effect on me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, the Baskin and Phelps cruise will be...
Cruise down the Cuyahoga.
In a canoe.
Get your kayak. Yep.
In a canoe. We'll have a six-pack.
Andy will paddle.
A six-pack of, what, iced tea hanging off the side?
I hope so.
That's good. All right. Danny, you coming?
I'll sit on a lawn chair somewhere.
In the canoe?
I don't know. It's a real small canoe.
Within throwing distance.
Will you?
So we can throw stuff at us.
Hody,
maybe
we'll
I'll just tube behind you.
We'll let Hody paddle, right?
Oh, I'm paddling, all right.
All right.
So we've heard.
Away from us?
No. Not paddling.
You know what we'll do? We'll do the canoe, and then you can be in a little paddle boat behind us. It'll be cool.
No, I want to be in the canoe with everybody. I think I belong with you guys.
I think probably less than 0.2 miles, we'd throw you out of the canoe. I'm just saying. Can you swim?
I don't think I want to swim.
Because you'd be wearing your life jacket, young man. Make sure you're wearing that.
Well, if I'm jet skiing in the back, that's also fine. I'm for that.
We're not that strong. Sorry.
Well, you know what? Maybe you should be.
The Baskin sigh has reached the room because it is time for NFL Rapid Fire. Dan Menigan, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, so let's begin NFL Rapid Fire with a little bit of thoughts of Monday Night Football, which you, of course, listened to on your home of Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football, 92.3 The Fan. The big one being Daniel Jones. Like, if you guys were in charge of the Giants after the 26-18 loss, Daniel Jones not exactly having a great game, would you start looking at Drew Lock to come help and save the problems that you have? You're 2-6 right now. And I don't know if you're a Drew Lock away from solving it, but would you do it, Jeff?
Indeed, I would not. I don't think the quarterback is the issue there. He just seemed discombobulated. Did you see that two-point conversion they went for?
I thought he sucked.
Well, he speaks highly of you.
I know he had 264 yards, but when they needed him to come through at the end of the game, when Browns fans needed Daniel Jones to come through at the end of the game, I was irritated. I almost called the poobah, who's now living the good life down south, just to be mad at him about the Giants. Thanks, man. Appreciate your help.
Like Drew Lock is the answer?
I don't know if Drew Lock's the answer. I was mad at Daniel Jones last night. I wasn't thinking about any quarterback. I was focused. I was focusing my irritation on one player alone.
Nice.
Tyrone Tracy looked good last night, didn't he? I hope he's okay. He got hurt in the end of the game, didn't he?
Yep. Concussion. Yeah. Well, head injury.
So I was mad. It's just my general. It was a 9-9 game. I was hoping that the Steelers, because I'm sitting here praying that the Browns can get back in this thing, and we need the Steelers to lose at every opportunity.
Last thought on Monday Night Football. Steelers have won 22 straight home games on Monday Night Football.
That's unbelievable.
That is wild.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's just one of those things that's like, huh.
It's in the script. So.
Oh, it is?
Yes, it is.
Do you have the script? Can we get to the end?
If I showed you the script, then, you know, bad things would happen.
The shadowy figures would take you out.
Do, 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 do.
Well, you know, you got to look at the shadowy figures. All right, we're going to play a fun game of we're a week from the trade deadline. It will be next week at this time. So we're going to play a fun game of what would you do?
Nice.
Excited?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Miami Dolphins are sitting at 2-5 so far. Tua Tagovailoa came back this week. It looked better, but they lost to the Arizona Cardinals anyway. Andy Baskin, if you are the Miami Dolphins at the trade deadline sitting at 2-5, what would you do?
Sell. They have a 92% chance of not making the playoffs. Their odds of making the playoffs are just a tiny bit better than the Browns. They're sitting at 2% for the sixth spot and 4% for the seventh spot, which makes me think that if the Browns can turn things around, they would get to climb into, I don't know, 10% out. If I'm the Dolphins, I'm selling.
If I'm the Dolphins, I'm doing the same thing the Browns are doing. If I can get rid of somebody who's not under contract for me next year, who I don't want to have back, and I can get a reasonable draft choice for them, okay, I can move them along. But I am not a big fan of NFL teams just dumping pieces that they have under contract for more than a year, that they can control for more than a year. To me, it's not like the trade deadline in Major League Baseball. It's a different thing. You're trying to build this thing, and you need a lot of talent to make that happen.
All right, so counterpoint. Feel free to get something you can throw at me when I say this, too. We will allow violence in this segment. So you're the one who has always told me I would rather take those fourth, fifth, and sixth round draft picks in the offseason and trade them for tangible assets that can help my team win now.
Absolutely.
Okay? And I agree with that sentiment. What's the difference between doing that at the trade deadline and doing that at the offseason?
Tangible asset that you can get as a player who can help you for an entire season. If I'm trying to acquire talent, by all means, I don't mind trading draft picks for talent. I don't like doing it the other way around. Okay. You know, for instance, I want Myles Garrett on this team. If somebody made me a great trade offer for Myles Garrett, am I ever going to get anybody who could approach his impact on a football field? I doubt it. So I wouldn't do that because you have Myles under control for a while, team control contractually. You need to build a team and you need a lot of pieces. And trading good football players is not usually a way to do that. My own thought.
No, it's a good explanation. Are you with them on that?
Yeah, I think it's hard to get good football players and
really impactful guys.
Yeah, I'm not getting rid of those guys for what could be something great. The what could be, especially with the Browns track record and drafting lately, and when you look at it from the Browns' perspective, I don't know. I have to go back and look at the Dolphins' track record. But, I mean, they're sitting there. They're a click above us right now, which makes me think we can get a third win against them.
First-round picks mean something big. Second-round picks.
If you do the right thing.
Second-round picks mean something.
Well, what do they tell you? First-round pick is usually like a blue chipper. Like, that's your starter. You're building around that one. Second-round pick or blue chip, red chip kind of guys that you can build around. Third-round picks typically are starters, fourth and on are coin flips.
You want second-round picks. You want third-round picks.
Yeah.
After that, I don't really care.
You can talk me into fourths.
You better do something.
I mean, you're
with
picking
them.
Like the 100th best player coming out when you're in the fourth round.
It's magic beans.
So, you know.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's to say you can't find somebody who's an undrafted free agent who is going to test off the charts and be really good?
Yeah, but I've heard you argue to draft a kicker in the first round before, so.
Wow.
Never.
Thank you.
Never. I've never met a guy that doesn't think there's any kicker on earth that's not worth being drafted.
That is correct.
All right, next on the list, let's go into the darkness with the New York Jets.
Wow.
I mean, what are you?
Did you see the trade thought today?
What do you even do with this team?
Said, would you trade Aaron Rodgers? Should you trade Aaron Rodgers right
who
now?
Who would want Aaron Rodgers right now?
I can't imagine that anybody would.
He can't move. And his entire offense right now is nothing but like go balls and slot fades and, you know, basically like, oh yeah, my guys will beat your guys because I don't feel like learning an actual offense.
Coach Stepanski giving us the lowdown. Thank you.
It's obnoxious. That team is unwatchable. They're going to be on Thursday Night Football this week and people tune in because it's the Jets and Aaron Rodgers.
New York, man.
And
New York runs the world.
And we're all going to walk out of this game going, oh my God, this team is horrid. They're a mess.
You know, the funny thing is, I think they have some interesting pieces. I mean, Garrett Wilson's tough. Breece Hall is tough. Tyler Conklin is nobody's version of Travis Kelce. He's a good football player at tight end. And if Aaron Rodgers could orchestrate things a little bit better, Aaron just looks like an old quarterback who's coming off a big injury. He hasn't had his usual stuff.
I concur with all you say there, Professor Phelps.
Their defense is still pretty solid.
That they are, and they're getting Hassan Reddick back, which should help the cause as well. So the other one to look at is the Cincinnati Bengals, who a lot of people were staring at and saying, hey, this is a team that could make their way there. And the offense looks like it's doing okay. It's just that defense is ugh. But Joe Burrow in the postgame press conference said, quote, I think 10 wins usually gets you in, so we got to win 7 out of the next 9. That's doable, and we'll go from there. I think offensively he thinks that, Andy. I don't know if that defense thinks the same way.
They're just not on the same page. You're right. Offensively, I do think they could get there. Their defense will not get them there. I still can't believe the Browns played as bad against the Bengals as they did, because that's a game the Browns should have won. Like, yeah. Of all the games that they've lost and the close ones, that was the most regrettable one.
Don't you think?
Or, as Les would say, the most recent.
Don't you think there are numerous teams that could win 7 of the next 9 games? And some of them who have struggled so far in the first 8 games? I do. I think there are several teams that could, in theory. I think the Browns could, in theory.
Well, then, let me give you a fun one of what would you do.
Cincinnati could.
It's amazing how many 2-win teams there are in the AFC right now. The Bengals, the Dolphins. I'm sorry, the Bengals are 3-win team.
Let me give you a...
Hang on. The Dolphins, the Browns, the Jags, the Jets, and the Patriots. All 2-win. And the Raiders, 2-win teams.
All right, a fun what would you do, the Los Angeles Rams. And the only reason I say they're a fun one is because they're 3-4 right now. The division
and they're
lead
coming on.
Is the Arizona Cardinals, the 49ers, and the Seahawks are all sitting at 4-4. The Cardinals would have the tiebreaker against all of them for his division wins. So, guys, if you're the Rams and you're getting Cooper Kupp back and you got Puka Nacua back,
you got them both back.
The defense is playing a little bit better. What would you do if
Matthew
you're the Rams?
Stafford lit it up last game.
What would you do?
I'd go win some football games.
Yeah,
would you make a trade? Upgrade. Would you go try to get somebody to help you, or would you pack it in and go, let's see what this looks like?
I wouldn't do what they did before. I don't know that they're a Super Bowl contender, so I'm not giving up first round picks. But by all means, you want a third or a fourth, fifth for somebody that I can actually plug in and play who can help me win right now, I would do that. Remember, it's not quite the same. There's so many guys in the league. It's not the same as the NBA, where free agent destinations are a huge, huge deal. I don't think. You guys correct me if you disagree. But still, free agency, Los Angeles, Rams, you know, SoFi, the whole thing, it's more attractive than a lot of other options for players.
Disney, it's right there.
It's more attractive. Not as much as it is in the NBA, where lifestyle, culture, and image mean, I think, a lot more than it means in the NFL to players.
All I know is the West is wide open. It is wide. I mean, the Cardinals are only 4-4.
If I'm the Rams, I'm going to try and make some moves.
All right, we'll wrap it up with this. Cowboys sitting at 3-4, and boy, they don't look good either. Would you try to make a move if you're Jerry to get somebody in there? Or are you packing
Jerry,
it in?
I could see him trying to make a move. They're another 3-4 team. It's weird how you look at the perspective on the two of these, and the Rams just feel like they're on the up, and the Cowboys don't. They're 3-4.
If I'm the Cowboys, that might be a situation where I'm looking to trade pieces and get draft choices, and then I'm looking to hire a general manager to make better draft choices.
Speaking of making better choices throughout a game, Greg Williams made some good choices along the way. Let's see what kind of choices he would make. Why do you look at me like this?
I'm just waiting to see where this goes.
He did. And then I'm thinking about one thing that maybe could have gone a different way, but that's okay. It's not a big deal. But Greg Williams will join us next. We love talking to him. He's one of our favorite guests. And he is next. 216-474-0092.